Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan De Burka Butler joins us once again for news from other parts of the world. Jonathan, good afternoon.
How are you? We're still in the morning, which is good.
Yes, it's in morning if we were in the 12th century. Right, so France we're going to first. Bizarre case. Brigitte Macron has been awarded damages over libel claims. Claiming what about her?
That she was a man called Jean-Michel. That she never in fact existed. And that it was her brother, who is called Jean-Michel, that existed. And Jean-Michel, at some stage in his life, decided to have gender reassignment surgery. And that's who she is now, apparently. That's according to these two people who produced a YouTube video back in December of 2021, right? So this was a self-professed independent journalist.
The best sort.
The best type, yeah. Natasha Ray, who was interviewed by a woman called Amandine Roy, and they went through a four-hour interview. 4 hours. Now, I don't know if they were speaking about other hot topics as well, but anyway, this was part of this particular interview that they went through. And Natasha Ray, this journalist, spoke about the state lie and scam that she claimed to have uncovered, that Brigitte Macron, who was formerly called Brigitte Trogneau, was in fact a man and had surgery to change her gender.
And presumably she provided extensive evidence in the course of this issue.
I won't attain that with a response. But anyway, she did uncover this state lie anyway. And straight away, Brigitte Macron brought proceedings against the woman. It was just before the 2022 presidential election. So it grew legs and it even, you know, was covered in various different news, in various newspapers in the United States and the like. So the court has now found in favour of Brigitte Macron and has ordered the two women to pay 8,000 in damages to her and also 5,000 in damages to her brother, Jean-Michel,
which fair is enough.
Fair enough, because, I mean, the accusation was made against him as well. So, yeah, it's a win for her.
Yeah, and the two people who were involved in the YouTube video, were they in court? Did they try and defend it at all?
I think one of them, I don't know if they tried to defend it, to be honest with you. I think one of them was sick, so she couldn't attend, and the other one may well have been there. I don't know how far they went in trying to defend this, to tell you the truth. I know Brigitte Macron didn't turn up for any of the proceedings herself.
Yeah.
So it's just something that the lawyers looked after.
But this seems to be, in particular, dark corners of the internet, this seems to be a thing.
Yeah. Wasn't there stories about Michelle Obama?
Yeah.
And also Kamala Harris, and I think Jacinda Ardern as well. That might have been more about her sexuality rather than she used to be a man. But yes, there's been extensive conspiracy theories put together about these kind of characters.
Yeah, it is interesting, though, that the shape of these conspiracy theories tends to remain the same, then just move them on to different people.
Yeah.
Mexico we're going to go to now, and there's a judicial reform bill there, which affect us what?
Yeah, it's a very interesting one for several reasons. I suppose the main reason is because this has never been done before anywhere in the world, right? And what this will do will allow judges to be elected. And when I say judges, I mean all judges. This is like state-level judges. This will be local-level judges. This will be Supreme Court judges, right? There's currently 7,000 judges working in the judicial system there in Mexico. And all of their jobs are going to be up for grabs because of this particular bill. Now, it's an amazing thing, right? So there's a few countries in the world where like in the United States, I think there's some states that vote for judges at a state level, and in Switzerland, where they always hold votes for everything, there are some again at basic state levels, but not every single judge in the country, and that's what you're looking at here. Now, the first elections are going to take place, it's thought, in June of 2025, but it's all part of a large judicial reform that's taking place and has been backed by the outgoing president, President Obrador. Now, Obrador is an interesting guy, in that he has had problems during his 6-year term with the Supreme Court. So there is some suggestion from some quarters that this might be, you know, him cocking his leg on his way out. The next president who comes into power is someone that he, you know, benighted effectively. So what's her name? Claudia Sheinbaum, I think her name is. And she won, and her party one very huge majority in June of this year. So they're basically saying, look, these judicial reforms that we're bringing in have been rubber stamped by the Mexican people because they voted for us overwhelmingly in those elections. And not only did we get this reform through the lower house, the Chamber of Deputies, but we also got that two-thirds majority that is required in many countries around the world in the Senate as well. So they're saying, look, we have support for this, so we're going ahead with it.
Yeah, and but what's the rationale for getting judges to run for election?
Right, so I think the major rationale is that Obrador and his party see the current judiciary as being corrupt. So this is a clean out.
Okay.
Effectively, yeah. Right? So he's saying, okay, the 7,000 people are in place now, you can run for election, but you're going to face the people and the people are going to decide whether you're fit to be in place or not. Mm-hmm. So the way that they were appointed before, similar, I think, to the United States, where the president picks a list, it goes to the Senate and they sign off on that. They're also reducing the terms. So you're no longer, say you're in the Supreme Court, you won't be there for life. It's 12 years, which I think is a good thing. Actually,
okay, that's not necessarily a bad idea. Yeah.
That there's a system in place. But others, of course, are critical, saying that it politicizes the judiciary and it could lead to corruption in other ways and that decisions might be taken by judges that might be politically motivated rather than being, you know, as they're seen now, as being more independent and away from the legislature.
Wow.
So it's a can of worms, but it's a very interesting one and the first in the world.
Right, Australia we're going to go to next, where a driver has been jailed over a terrible crash.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember this story from the summer of 2023. A man by the name of Brett Button, he's 59 years of age now. He was coming back with 35 people from a wedding in a place called Hunter Valley. It's a wine region in New South Wales, which I'm sure you've heard about before on movies and booze and the like. And he was driving them home and he crashed. He basically went around a roundabout. The bus tipped over and everyone except for himself was affected by the crash. So 10 people died, 25 people were very badly affected. And it turns out that he was in the grips of a prescription opioid dependency at the time. And so he's been held liable for their deaths, obviously. So he's been sentenced to 32 years in prison. After he actually did a deal with them, he had originally been put up for manslaughter, but it seems that he pleaded guilty to a string of dangerous driving offences instead, and that was part of the deal. So whether that reduced the sentence a little bit for him, I'm not sure, but it must have done something.
32 years, though.
It's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time, given that he's 59. Spain next. A footballer there found guilty of sexually assaulting a mascot.
A mascot, yes. Yeah. A very interesting story. I put the video of this up on my Instagram stories, right, at DeBurka Butler. And the reason I did that is because the footballer in question, he's the former captain of a team called Celta Vigo. Hugo Malo is his name, right? And he actually posted the video on his own Instagram account to prove, or at least to put it in front of the public and sort of say, look, there's no way I did anything wrong here. So he has been found guilty of sexual assault of a woman who was working as the Espanol mascot, or was one of two mascots, right? They were in parakeet sort of uniforms, right? And they were doing their lineup, shaking hands, the two teams, and they came to the end of the line and he kind of gave the parakeet, who happened to be a woman inside, a hug, right? Now, if you look at the video, it seems to me, I don't know if you've ever been in any of these costumes. Have you in your life?
My time in parakeet costumes is quite limited.
Well, I can say that I have been in costumes like these before, right? You do anything as a student to earn a bit of money, right? And they're very difficult to see out of, right? So people are generally below you and you can't see what you're doing. So when people come to shake your hand, you're always fumbling around the place.
Yeah.
That seems to me, from this video, is exactly what's happened here. Now, the person who is inside this mascot costume says that she was touched on the chest by this footballer.
Yeah.
Right? The court, in this instance, has agreed with her and has fined him 7,000 euros. But he's appealing and he's doubling down and he's saying, look, I've done nothing wrong here and I'll be back to defend myself again.
Yeah.
I have to say, looking at the video, you can understand why he might be appealing.
Okay, we should keep an eye on that. Something else we should keep an eye on as well is between Ethiopia and Egypt. There are tensions with Somalia as well. That part of the world is becoming a bit tense.
It is. Very briefly, Ethiopia has said that Egypt must abandon its aggressive approach towards this hydroelectric dam that's been built on the River Nile in Ethiopia, right? Mm. So this has been a bone of contention between the two countries since 2011. Back in the 1960s, very briefly, Egypt did a deal with Sudan about the River Nile, and Egypt was able to go ahead and build a dam for itself and it transformed their economy, okay?
Yeah.
Ethiopia wants to do the same, but because Egypt is downstream of Ethiopia in terms of the River Nile, they're saying we're going to be affected by the lack of water coming down to us, and so is Sudan, but Sudan don't seem to be too bothered about it at the moment. So ever since this dam in Ethiopia, the project has started, there's been tensions between the two countries. But now it seems to be ramping up, and that's partly to do with a military deal that was done between Egypt and Somalia last month, I think it was, in which Egypt said it's going to send troops into Somalia. Ethiopia doesn't like that. And so it seems to be, you know, reigniting this battle with Egypt in the United Nations in terms of this dam. So it's like you said in your introduction, there's an awful lot going on between several countries here. Some of them are lining up with each other against Ethiopia, and Ethiopia is doing things that the other countries don't like.
Yeah, and Ethiopia's done a deal with Somaliland as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, we actually spoke about that when they did that deal. One of the big problems Ethiopia has is that it has no access to the sea.
Mm.
Now, Somaliland is a territory that Somalia claims,
yeah,
but to all intents and purposes, it acts and has acted since the 1990s,
I think,
independently, very much independently. So it cut a deal with Ethiopia to give it access to the sea, but also critically to potentially allow Ethiopia to build a military base there as well. And economically and geopolitically, that is a very big deal, I think, because all of a sudden it opens Ethiopia up to China and everything else that China can do, you know, coming on the coast and the road and health scheme and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's so many strands to this.
Along the border between Somalia, though, and Ethiopia, there are Ethiopian troops on the, well, certainly when I was there, on the Somalia side of the border. They need them there because there's so many kind of, you know, nutty Islamic groups running around the place. They need it for security.
Absolutely.
And they allow them in.
Yeah.
So that's
what. But Somalia has a history of these kind of two-faced deals.
Yeah.
You know, where they'd say one thing and act in another way. So
yeah.
It's very interesting what's going on there. But just in terms of the tension building up there is one thing, and that is that, you know, between Egypt and Ethiopia, there's 800 kilometers of Sudan. So in terms of them going to war with each other, it would be very difficult.
Mm. Yeah, or maybe a proxy war incident. Yeah,
well, there you go.
Right, so what should we look out for over the next week or so?
Okay, so a few things coming up. Would you believe it's 10 years since IndyRef in Scotland?
Huh, yeah.
That's tomorrow.
Crikey.
God, it only seems like yesterday. Yeah. Elections get underway in Sri Lanka on Saturday. That's the first since the economic crisis that they had in 2022, which resulted in the resignation of the president. There was lots of coverage of that back then. On the same day, Oktoberfest begins. So get your lederhosen out for that. And then on September 22nd, 30 years ago, that's Sunday, the first episode of Friends.
Okay, a historic day for us all. Jonathan, thanks a million. As ever, Jonathan de Burka Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.